Welcome to the Sandusky Community Good Friday service. We're thankful for all of your presence here today in this moment, and we're also thankful for our radio listening audience. That's why hopefully you would know we are punctual here. We want to try to honor your time and this service, but we did want to make sure that we could include those that are away from this place with our service today. My name is Pastor Matt, and I am appointed here at Sandusky First United Methodist Church, and I'm just celebrating what it feels like for all of us to gather together in this important time in our Holy Week journey to celebrate and worship together. At this moment, I just offer a quick moment of prayer. You know, we've all come from different areas. This might not necessarily be the church that we recognize as being the one that we go to. So can we just prepare this place and ask for the Holy Spirit's blessing on each and every one of us that are here gathered, listening, that the Lord be able to meet us where we are and help us prepare this day for our journey towards Resurrection Sunday. Could you join me for our opening prayer? Almighty God, in this place, in this time, you've set aside for us, and we know you've numbered all of us, and you love us so dearly. Lord, take us to those places of authenticity. Would your Holy Spirit meet us on the sides and front and behind, and Lord, just be our guide in this service today as we honor the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ. And Lord, continue to encourage us as we walk from this place, that a witness and testimony of your great love for us would be on our hearts and our spirits, it would fall from our lips. Lord, all these things we ask that you would bless and take glory in. In Jesus' powerful and matchless name we pray. Amen. In this moment, I would ask you to stand if you're able, and we'll sing together this great song of our faith for our Good Friday setting today, Were You There? It's number 288 in the hymnal, found in your pew if you'd like to flip there. If not, it will also be on the screen. Again, number 288, Were You There?
Thank you.
As you find your seats in this moment, in this time, we live as resurrection people, as Easter people. And because we live in that resurrection, and because sometimes death is so difficult to talk about, as is pain and suffering, we have to prepare ourselves for a service like today. We have a joy that can't be extinguished. But before there was resurrection, there was sorrow. And there was hopelessness. The weight of sin brought death upon the spotless Lamb of God. That sacrifice was very necessary and very, very real. And in this moment, we asked ourselves as we sang together, were you there? And I'd ask this moment, do you find yourself there today, even as resurrection people and Easter people? Do we know that it wasn't for the sin of people that lived in a different age than us? It's for our sin that Jesus was nailed to the tree, that Jesus suffered and died. It was because he loves me, because he loves you. It may have been pages in our history and a time before us, but Jesus' death is so much more authentic when you realize Jesus was laid in a tomb, dead and buried, because of me, because of you, for the generations that will come after us. What a Savior that we've come to worship today. And I would ask that we don't forget that joy in our hearts, but for a moment, would it cause our souls to tremble that 1,000 legions of angels could have rescued him from a sacrifice he didn't deserve? But he said no, because the will of the Father and our payment for sin, our covering, our grace, was worth his life. I'd like to read a section of Scripture from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 16 through 25. This is what it reads. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these things have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart that's full of assurance of that faith brings us, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed pure with water. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the powerful hope that we profess, for he who promised us is perfectly faithful. Finally, and let us consider now that we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day of the Lord's arrival approaching. There's a responsive reading, and we've printed it in the service order for today. You'll see it in the dark print. It says, Merciful God, oh, how we need you today. There are 6 readings that I have, and I would pause and ask that you would join in this part of us together of interaction as we come and gather together today to respond with that bold text. O my people, O my church, what have I done to you? Or in what way have I offended you? I led you forth from the land of Egypt and delivered you by the waters of baptism, and yet you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
Oh, how we need you today.
I led you through the desert 40 years and fed you with manna. I brought you through times of persecution and of renewal, and I gave you my full body, the bread of heaven. But still, you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Merciful God, oh, how we need you today. My peace I gave, which the world cannot give, and washed your feet as a servant. But now you draw the sword to strike in my name and seek high places in my kingdom. Merciful God, oh, how we need you today. I accepted the cup of suffering and death for all of your sakes, but you scattered and denied and abandoned me. I sent the Spirit of truth to lead you on, but you close your hearts to that guidance. Merciful God, oh, how we need you today. I called you to go and bring forth fruit, but you cast lots for my clothing. I prayed that you may all be one, unified in me and my name, but still you are divided by bickering, quarreling, and infighting.
Merciful God, oh, how we need you today.
I came to you as the least of all brothers and sisters. I was hungry, and there was no compassion in you, as I received no food from you. I was thirsty, and I walked away just as I came, as you gave me no drink. I arrived a stranger in your presence. You didn't welcome me. You saw me naked, and yet did not offer me any clothes. I was sick and in prison, and you would not visit me.
Merciful God, how we need you today.
Those are heavy readings and heavy responses. But again, I would invite us all to remember in this moment, the penalty and the weight of sin is so heavy. As even right before us, that we have this cross that is larger than any of us, it's too big. And even though we're called to carry our cross daily, the cross of Christ, none of us could bear. It was his task and his task alone. Would that cast a shadow over us, that we continue to be reverent in spirit of how large an act of grace and unconditional love Jesus' life and that cost of grace and salvation brought us. We can stay seated for this song, but I would invite us to sing together Lamb of God. And it's in the thin book, if you can't see the screens, you'd rather follow along, in The Faith We Sing, number 2113. And just the way it's written, we're going to sing verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. So it's 2113, Lamb.
Thank you.
the words we proclaim and the songs that we sing aloud as one body, as brothers and sisters in Christ, they proclaim something. I'd like to draw you to the last line of the chorus, "My Jesus Christ." Not Jesus who we know of, not Jesus who we may be familiar or read about in the Bible, but Jesus is our Jesus. Jesus knows us intimately. And Jesus offers us to know him. Not of him, but to know him. Would our lives be changed by the words that we sing and the truths that we claim? The death of Jesus, being washed in his blood, that needs to bring about a change in us. Not the kind of change that we recognize for a little while, but that causes a change. Would you agree that when we bathe, we do it to freshen up, to clean up, to be presentable? Could we just imagine for a second what kind of crud would be on our faces if we bore the sin on our faces for the world to see? If it was just crusted on there and it's been on there for years, it was greasy and grimy, the most horrible thing you could ever imagine. And there was no industrial cleaner that could wash it clean, but only the blood spilt by Jesus. Would we look different when we washed ourselves in that blood and the sin was gone from us? My dear friends, as we remember the sacrifice and the spotless Lamb of God, would we be changed and present ourselves in front of Christ, humble and thankful for that day on the cross and each moment that he suffered so that we could wash the sin clean from our lives? I would ask in this moment that you would again join me in this moment of prayer over us, our gathering, and our community. Almighty God, your Son Jesus was lifted high upon the cross so that we might draw near to him and the whole world would also be attracted to him. Grant that we who would glory in this death for our salvation may also glory in his call to take up the cross and follow just as he went. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, we can find our seating for the song. We will sing together, "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed?" Number 294, "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed?"
Thank you.
life is our response. And now I will hand things over to Pastor Rick from the Open Door Missionary Church. Pastor Rick, if you will now lead us.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here with you today. I'm honored and humbled as well. And before we get into any more, it's time for us to talk about offering. And but the offering today is going to be designated to a specific thing. Some of you may have heard on the radio about the talk about the Sanilac County Rescue Mission. And we've been working on this for some time now. Actually, God has placed it on the heart of our chief of police for quite a while. And now it is all in motion, and we're moving toward that. As you know, there's an open house over there today. It will continue even after this service if you want to go over there to the old Sandusky School. You'll see the building. They'll show you how the layout, what it all is looking like, what it's going to look like as it begins to develop. But today, this offering that is being taken here, and all offerings, actually, everything that is given today in for the rescue mission will be also matched equally by others. So it is a unique opportunity for us to give a lot of funds that way. If you are making out a check, you can make it out to SCCF with the Sanilac County Rescue Mission in the memo line. That's a way that it will be designated to that way. So at this time, I'll ask our ushers if they'll come up. And I'm going to ask God to bless this, and I know He will. I want to say just one more thing. God is already heavily at work at this mission and this ministry that has begun. It's going to be huge. You want to be a part of it, and there's going to be much more that is going to be needful or required of you and I down the road. Please get to know about this rescue mission. We're hoping this is up and running before summer begins. But would you bow with me in prayer as we ask God to bless this? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this offering and this opportunity today. God, who would have thought that there was a need for a rescue in a simple town like Sandusky, Michigan? But we know it's beyond that. It's beyond Sandusky, it's Sanilac County. And there is such a great need that is out there. And who would better know that than some of our police officers who see it every day? God, help us as we open our hearts to your calling for this rescue mission to not only be started and planted, but to be one that will flourish and will rescue many people's lives. We as the churches support this, and we get behind it, and we ask for your blessing, not only on this offering, but all that is taken today. And even as that open house is going on, I pray that you would just continue to pour people's hearts and minds into it. And God, again, to you be the glory. We know this is your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a passage of scripture that I want to read for you today. And this is going to go along with a lot of the message. So I want to read for you. It's found in Mark chapter 15 and verses 25 through 47. But I'm going to read part of that now and then part of it into the message as well. It reads like this. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you are going to destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days? Well, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who crucified were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, is he calling out to Elijah?" At this time, we're going to have a special music. I want to introduce this lady to you. Her name is Kelly Berry, and we are honored to have her to sing this special. So would you listen as she brings this special message and song?
what mercies overcome. Death has lost and love has
entitled this these thoughts this morning, The Depth of Endurance. When looking at this, looking at the Passion Week, we have a lot of emotion in that because it means a lot to you and I. But yet we're around in a world that sometimes shares very little emotion about this. What is Easter? There's very little about it, you know, talked about by the world today and things of that, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's interesting that the biblical writers put a lot of thought into this and a lot of time into it. And I want to just share with you some very facts about that that I found very intriguing myself. The biblical importance of Passion Week. Did you know that 2/5 of the book of Matthew is devoted to the Christ's final week on this earth? Did you know that 3/5 of the book of Mark is equal to that? That 1/3 of Luke is devoted to that, and 1/2 of the book of John, 21 chapters, are devoted to Christ's final days on this earth. You and I can get an idea of the importance the gospel writers placed on Christ's death and resurrection when we look at some of the other facts as well. In the gospels, there are 89 chapters that are written. Out of those 89 chapters, 4 of them cover the first 30 years of his life. 85 of them cover the last 3 years of his life. And 29 of them cover the last week of his life. There is importance. If the biblical writers, his disciples, and those who followed him didn't put so much emphasis to it, then why was it? Why is it that man says it's not important? Well, because he doesn't understand the word of God and the followers of God. I want to pick up this text again with you, and I left off at verse 35 and just finish it to verse 47 because it is applicable to everything we're saying. Then with one man ran and filled the sponge with vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes down to him. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, the mother of Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him from Jerusalem were also there. It was a preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked Jesus for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he had learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. And Joseph brought some of the linen cloth down to the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in the tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone up against the entrance of the tomb, and Mary Magdalene and the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. as we look at this passage again, I think there's some things that are really unique here. And I want to just give you some of the thoughts that I had as I was reading through them. And maybe you can capture some of these as well. And not that these are the only thoughts. Maybe this will trigger more for you as well. But I think that the whole premise of this starts right from the very beginning when Jesus was riding in to Jerusalem on that, what we call Palm Sunday. Think about it. The beginning of his emotions would start there. And this would take a lot from him during those days. Because he was riding into town and hearing people were declaring his worth to everyone. The emotional depth and the meaning he poured out and that he later shared with his disciples in the Passover meal. His intent was to help them to understand the significance that was soon to be played out. Yet, he had to accept their temporary misunderstanding and still had to stay focused on the goal that had him, that had an impact and would have a huge impact on them. Think about praying your final moments of your life, praying away your final moments in a damp, cold garden without the support of friends or companions. I truly believe that the humanity of Christ would have relished the support of his friends. I also believe that the deity of Christ would be honored by their concern. By being his disciples, it meant that the teaching was learned and that it was going to be followed. But then he was soon arrested. And his arrest and humiliated to answer non-relevant questions that would exhaust anyone physically or emotionally. There were 6 trials. 3 of them from Jewish leaders. 3 of them from Roman. He endured a lot. And hearing firsthand how far from the truth, you think about his emotions, hearing firsthand how far from the truth his creation had taken things. So even when the truth was standing right before them, God in the flesh, they refused to see it. As the night lingered, so the intensity of the crowds increased to the point where his own friends and his followers denied and disowned him. Then came the trial. As we look at this passage and each of these gospel writers when they're writing about it, I'm sure being raised in a good home, Jesus learned that trials were for those who were unjust, for those who were evil, who deserved it. And now to feel the humiliation in his spirit, even affecting his physical being, that he himself was under trial. To be accused. There is something to be said about being falsely accused. Even worse, being put on trial because of it. Top it off with false evidence. No one was speaking on your behalf. No one wanted to see the truth. That's a desperate situation, a terrible emotional state to be in, and that's what Christ endured on our behalf. To be humiliated and tortured by the ones that you came to help. To be crucified. Disfigured. Enduring horrendous pain. Suffering the severity of punishment. What was that severity? Death? Silence? No chance of ever being retried again? Most severe is having his father turn his head due to the shame of the total sin of mankind that he endured. That long enduring pain and suffering he did, and he did it all alone for you and for me. The fact is that all he had to do was remove himself from the cross in front of his accusers, and they would have believed, just as we read. Just bring yourself down and we'll believe right here. But here's the best part. Man's temporary faith wasn't God's purpose. It was eternal faith in believing that this is the Son of God who died as payment for all mankind's sin. So what's the good of Good Friday? I think it's all wrapped up in these hours. I think that there are some things here that really lay it out. I want to go back to verse 45 and read for you this again. Let's see if I got it here again. In verse 45, oops, I got to turn my page one more, sorry. It says this, and when he had learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave, nope, that's not it, I'm sorry, let me back up. Verse 45 speaks of the Savior and how he gets man's attention. I'm sorry, I'm missing my point here. Verse 51 is a new personal access to God was provided. Think about it. The temple had a veil that was there that separated man, common man, from God because only could be passed through by priests. But at the point of Christ's death, that was torn in two, and it was opened up so that you and I, no longer having to wait for the ritual sacrifice to be right, but that we could enter the presence of God without that needing to be done anymore. Verse 45, the verse there that I was looking for was this verse that it says that the hour and the darkness came upon the face of the earth, that creation itself spoke that this is God. And darkness came upon the face of the earth. Another part of that talks about those that raised from the dead. Death shows no permanent hold on life anymore. Life and death are now in the hands of God and spoken of by the rising of those from the dead. And then there was his blood that was shed on an altar of the cross for all of mankind's sin. Before that, altars were there, the shedding of blood, the picture of what was to come, and this was the one who would do it all. This blood was the blood that would be for all of mankind. As I think about this, this illustration came to mind, and it's a true story. And as I read it, you may understand and know a little bit more about it, but I think it's applicable to what we're talking about. I remember this day, August 16th, 1987. American Airlines Flight 255 crashed after takeoff at Detroit Metro Airport. The flight carried 155 passengers. All were killed except for one passenger, a four-year-old girl. Her name was Cecilia. When at first they discovered her, they didn't believe that she was part of the plane, but instead maybe a car from the highway involved in the crash because she was in such great shape. I remember my brother-in-law that day was delivering medical supplies for Z Medical, and he said he was going to drive down that highway, and he just thought, man, I can get a better way. I'll go a different route, and he went a different route. And that plane, I remember going down through there, and I remember all the debris and all the stuff talked about it. They really thought that Cecilia wasn't even a part of the plane. Maybe she was part of one of the cars underneath because she wasn't scarred at all. And days after the crash, young Cecilia, even at 4 years old, shared about her mom's actions on the plane. Cecilia's mom knew the plane was going to crash, and so she unbuckled her seat belt and knelt before her daughter's seat, wrapping her arms around her daughter tightly as she was able to endure the fullness of the crash, and she remarkably saved her daughter's life. The message of the cross is that Jesus Christ has wrapped himself around us, has taken the full force of sin and our shame so that we could live He paid the full price and has satisfied the justice of God on our behalf. Today, you and I can celebrate that truth. But if you're here today, and it's the first time you've ever heard that, or the only time you have ever understood that very point, you need to surrender your life to the Savior who loves you and who died for you. And what better day to do it than right now? That, my friends, is the good of Good Friday. May God bless us as we continue to tell these truths and live these truths to a world around us. It's important. It's so vital that we live the truth and that they know that there is reason to celebrate, that He isn't a dead Savior. He's risen. We're going to celebrate that in 2 days again. And we already know. And it's kind of cool to anticipate that moment. It's coming, you know? And because this is truth, this is what we're built on. This is our faith. This is what it's all about. Little girl Cecilia can tell a story about her mom. You and I can tell a story about a Savior. Pastor Matt.
Thank you for that message, Pastor Rick, and for the journey it's taken us on. Hopefully it stays with us, your words, throughout the rest of this journey together. In these final closing moments, this sending forth, I'd like us to remember that moment that some of us might not have heard that or understood it before. Or maybe it's renewed in our spirits again. Maybe those of you that are joining us on the radio, maybe that spoke very true to you for the first time or uncovered something that you knew and are once passionate about again. My dear friends, in a world that doesn't set Christ apart or above everything, the only way this world is going to know the good news that we know is if we share it with them. The only time that people are going to be able to hear the good news is if someone tells them. The only time someone would recognize Christ is if we introduce Jesus to them. Would we be impacted today and in this season that we don't just celebrate amongst ourselves, but that we would help Jesus shine the light of eternity into this world? I would ask that we could for a moment, if you'd stand if you're able, and after this Benedictus, we'll sing together the last song, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, number 301. Would you please join me for the sending forth? Almighty God, as this time comes and draws to a close, You do not leave us. You still continue to put a path before us, Lord. Let us walk with courage. Let us walk with Your strength. And let us walk in Your perfect faithfulness, that this world can be changed, that new disciples can be made, that our journey can still go deeper. And Lord, there is a celebration waiting for us on the other side of heaven. But Lord, until we meet You face to face, let our hearts pour out the name of Jesus the Christ. Could we go forward in this good news to keep our joy amongst us and the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit leading our steps. Amen. Let us sing together, number 301, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.